here we go. It is a Wednesday, July the 8th, 2020, 7-8-2020. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned in to Over the Air here on WWGH Radio. Scott Spears along with Glenn Coble for the next two solid hours.
Hey, hey!
What was that?
That was my...
We have been doing this show for how long now, Glenn? Months and months and months, and all of a sudden now you've turned into...
Harry Carey.
No. That wasn't Harry Carey. That was Jack Brickhouse.
Okay.
Hey, you remember Jack Brickhouse did Hey Hey?
I knew Jack Brickhouse. I haven't...
Well, he would probably come down and strike you dead now. You said that his saying was Harry Carey's.
He didn't like me anyway.
He didn't like you?
No.
I find that hard to believe.
Hey, yeah, everybody likes me. I'm taking that other earplug out. That just not
five working. Seconds, it'll be over. The theme will be over. Okay. Our whistling. Okay, go ahead. Why didn't Jack Brickhouse like you?
Oh, well, this is kind of an interesting story.
Well, I'll be the judge of that.
Okay, and so will our audience. My mother loved Jack Brickhouse. She was a Cub fan longer than I was, because she was a Cub fan from back when she lived in Boston. But anyway... she found out that I was going to meet Jack Brickhouse she found out that I was going to go to a college football game at Dyke Stadium at Northwestern to help out. And she said, "Will you get to see Jack Brickhouse?" And I said, "Well, he'll probably be there." So anyway, I arrived there. My friend Jim Vrujink was the sports information director there at the time, and he had invited me to help him out and learn a little about my job. And so I walked in, and sure enough, there's Jack Brickhouse holding court right in the middle of the press box. And so I thought to myself, I got to go say hi to him and tell him how much my mother really loves him and how much I like him. So I walked over to him and I said, "Hi, Jack. I'm Glenn Coble. I'm the new sports information director at DePaul University." He said, "So what?"
Oh.
That's what he said to me.
Now, see, but did you come off arrogant?
No, I don't. I was very bashful.
Well, see, here's the thing about that. Because I have interviewed Jack's wife a lot, Pat, who was, I believe she had something to do with baseball. I'm not sure what it was.
Ooh,
but there was
back.
A connection. Or she worked for a PR firm. It was something.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah,
yes.
So there was some connection there. And I've also interviewed Harry Carey's wife, Dutchie, many times.
Oh.
And they're both still around.
Mm-hmm.
They're both up there in years now.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is when you talk about Jack Brickhouse there, I find it hard to believe that that would have been typical Jack Brickhouse. So I kind of think it might have laid with the way you approached it.
Or I may have caught him at the wrong moment. But he was holding court, and everybody was laughing at all his jokes. And it might have been just a joke, you know, but it hurt me.
Well, it is when somebody you like does, first time you meet him, they say something nasty to you.
Yeah.
But like, you know.
I haven't liked him ever since, by the way.
Well, see, but that's wrong on your part.
Oh, absolutely wrong on
but
my
see,
part.
But see, isn't that
my
the whole
mother
problem?
Would roll over in her grave if she knew I held something like that against somebody.
It's funny because we're talking baseball because obviously we just learned that baseball's coming back, and apparently I'm heading down to I about said Riverfront,
yeah.
Great American Ballpark on Friday night, July 24th for the Big Reds opener, and we're going to have a big. I'm sure we'll broadcast from there.
Cool.
And also do some. Here's the thing. This is people in radio may not understand this, but you know this station, and I'm proud of this. Six and plus years in now, we've broadcast from Nashville, we've broadcast from New York City, Manhattan, we've broadcast from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, we've broadcast from Cleveland many, many times, we've broadcast from Columbus. We've broadcast from, I'm sure there's somewhere else I'm from, but those are the
Nashville.
Nashville, the ones that stick out in my mind. So, but the thing about it is when you do a remote or you go anywhere that's over an hour away, even if it's just Columbus, you do more than just what you're doing on the air.
Yeah.
You eat, you have
a lot more.
Yeah. You have a little fun, you do things. So, and you never go alone on a remote. Because you've got technical issues and things, it's very difficult to. I've done remotes alone. That's miserable.
They're no fun. Yeah.
That you want to have a bad time. Go on a remote alone,
especially if the equipment breaks down.
Oh, well, that's why. Anytime I do a remote, if I can, I make sure somebody's in the studio.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, because if I go dead. Number one, I can call them. I can still call it in and get on the air that way. And number two, there's no dead air because they can stall because they're hearing me.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn, you might have to come in that night. You're one of our key holding board operators.
From which night?
Friday night, July 24th.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll ask my wife if she'll let me.
Here's the interesting thing. This studio is a funny studio in that we have key holders here and people who know how to run the board. And what that means in radio, basically you can work the controls alone.
Turn it on and off.
Yeah. Well, but a little more than that.
A little.
But yeah. But, and also people who know how to talk on the radio in case you do need to stall.
Yeah.
And at this studio right now, our key holders and people who can do that are, there are five of us. There's myself. There's Sean. There's Terry, there's you, and there is Mike Wilson. And I think Nate can do it, but I don't think Nate has a key.
Okay.
But in any event, so it'll be one of you here that night. And I'm just thinking the way that Sean and Terry's schedules are as far as other life goes, it'll probably be you or Mike.
Yeah, and I don't mind.
Yeah. So. but here's the fun thing. This studio is air-conditioned. This is a nice studio.
Mm-hmm.
And
much better than the last one.
Much better than the last one. And the funny thing about it is we have a television in there that nobody ever uses.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's funny because you would think we'd why just have the news on, just background noise.
Just have the pictures on.
One night I'm thinking about coming in here, and I'm moving that television in here.
Oh, okay.
And that way it'll just be on.
Yeah.
You know,
you can see if something's
breaking.
You can
see if something's going on.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It's a smart television. It gets all the channels and everything.
Not as smart as you and me, but.
Well, who is as smart as me? I mean, let's be serious. But you could literally sit here and do the engineering and watch the game.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, you can do that in
and
this
that
studio.
Might be a good idea, as a
yes.
matter of fact. Yeah.
And you can do that in this studio.
Because you can see if there's going to be a rain delay, so you know to break to something else.
Oh, and by the way, now our printer works out there in the
office.
Oh, my
goodness.
So if you go on, I mean, right,
we're just like big time.
Well, we don't have the wireless worked out yet, but if you go out there on that computer that it's hooked up to in the office, which is just like any other computer, and you go to print, it will print on that computer.
Right.
So you could print the box scores that night, bring them in here, and give her the box scores.
That's thanks to Terry, right? Didn't he get that printer in there?
Well, he got the old printer in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the one that we had to take off.
Okay.
He got the paper.
We'll give him that.
He get the paper. Terry did. We got a lot of paper here at the studio now. Because I couldn't remember to get the paper.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Wait until you run out of ink.
People. Well, we got a lot of ink because I think it's only been used about one time so far.
Yeah.
So we have a commitment from you.
I'm going to have to figure out how to get the box scores.
You probably just go to ESPN.
Yeah. We'll look.
But anyway, we've got our engineer now. We're putting this together on the fly this morning.
Okay, all right.
And I'm going to be down there Friday night, July 24th, starting at probably 6:15. The broadcast will start because that's when the game starts. So it's going to be a night.
So are you going to call the game too?
You know, I was thinking, because there is no Reds affiliate in this area, that could be done.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if you, we have MLB, my wife and I, so that we could watch our Cubs. But if it's a home game, a Reds game, we don't get to watch that on MLB.
Right. So. I could. Well, I'm not going to be alone. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
So I'll have a person there with
me. You haven't thought of taking me with you on that?
No. It's kind of like the cookouts. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't work that way.
To our audience, Scott hates me.
Is that the word?
Well,
no. It's more of just a we are good in this studio, but I think if we congregate outside, it'll ruin what we have here.
Okay, good enough. And I don't like to go to parties anyway. So that's good.
I'm telling you what. Here's the thing, and I don't know if I said this on air or not, but I'm going to say it. You know, for a long time, I tiptoed around this.
Are you going to hurt my feelings now?
No, it's just something I normally wouldn't say, but it's just the way it happened.
Okay.
I do the three cookouts a year, and I can't believe we're already through two of them. There's only one left, Labor Day.
Which I'm not invited to.
Which you're not invited to. No, I've already taken your name off the list. Scratched it off already. We're not even
in
August.
You don't even have a name.
No, it was never on the list.
Yeah.
No. We don't even start to like D's. There are no C's. A, B's, and C's we don't have. We
don't
just
do this while I'm drinking coffee.
Scratch those off. We did roll call that day, and shockingly enough, you weren't even on the roll call sheet.
Good.
I couldn't believe it. That's what I said. I said, good. Thank goodness. But here's the thing. The Memorial Day get-together.
I'm sorry.
It's getting rough here today, folks. Already 24 minutes in, and we're getting rough. The thing about it is that
my glasses.
Memorial Day and July 4th. Here were the big differences. My get-togethers are a little eclectic because it's not family and it's not friends. It's a great combination of both.
Does that mean you have a whole bunch of hippies and
hippies
beatniks?
And yeah, you got it.
Okay.
Yeah, but what happened was on Memorial Day, and it just was this way, and it kind of threw things into a little. I don't want to say it was a mess, but it just put a tone on the whole thing.
Well, good, because you didn't invite me.
Well, as many people know, the night before Memorial, because I have it on the actual day.
Okay.
The night before Memorial Day, Charlie died.
Oh, yeah.
He died the night before. And everybody there, not necessarily knew him personally, some did, but it was 12 hours earlier.
Yeah. That's
so the event.
Downer.
Kind of had, and there were people who came who didn't even know he had passed away. Well, of course not. He died 12 hours earlier. So it had, even though it was fun, we all had a good time, it did have a little bit of a tone, and I was I don't want to call it stress, but I knew that I was coming back the next morning, and of course we had the tributes and things we needed to get done. And that day, I had to talk to the newspaper, and it was just an odd day. You know, it wasn't as loose as normally they would have been. Right. Now, if you would have been there on the 4th, you would have saw loose.
Okay.
And it was easy, no stress, no, everything was ready, nothing else going on, and we had the greatest time. We just, it was so much fun, and it was more like those events really are. Memorial Day was not really, because of what I just said, was not really. Plus, it was the first time a lot of those people had ever gotten together, was Memorial Day. It wasn't...
Did they all ask where I was?
Not a person. Not a person. Which is why I said, boy, I made the right decision when it came to Glenn. Because nobody cares. But it was one of those things. So, yeah, but 4th of July, you talk to anybody who was at that 4th of July thing, and they will tell you... They had a great time. You know, sometimes you have one of those parties and you know people are going back saying,
they're all lying.
Yeah, they're all lying. No, this one was good. And we went the gamut. You know, it was one of those things, you always know this is the sign of a good party because everybody was kind of off in their own little areas, but then somebody would hear a conversation going on in another area and they would pick up a chair and so they could sit where those people were.
I thought you were
and listen,
say, pick up the chair
and hit them.
Hit them.
And hit them. No, but you know, that's the mark of a good party.
Yeah.
And it just was great.
The mark of a good party is lobster with butter.
Well, we had that. We had lobster with butter. Oh, sure. We had that whole thing.
And now you tell me I wasn't
invited. I know.
Okay.
So that was great. And last Friday night show, did you get a chance to listen to Friday night show? Of course you didn't, Glenn.
No.
Why would you prepare for this show today? What did you do that we're going to talk about today?
Well, I was with my wife and my puppy dog. I'm kind of a shut-in since I got old.
What? You could have listened to the show.
I could have. It's kind of like you not inviting me to an event. I really don't want to listen to you guys.
It was great. I had Friday night. I laughed so hard. And again, the people who were here Friday night would attest they were too. Here's how silly it got Friday night. I'll tell you just a little example. We were trying to do a 4th of July show, and somebody left the air conditioner on because it got a little hot up here.
It gets loud.
Yeah, well, it's loud when it kicks off.
Yeah.
So we're sitting here doing like the third hour. And normally we don't do 3 hours on Friday night. And we're here during the third hour, and it's, you know, that's a little long. And we were just in the middle of a conversation, and I just heard that thing kick on.
Yeah.
Boom. Because somebody forgot to shut it off during the break. And just out of the blue, I turned to the person sitting with it. I said, oh, thank goodness your ventilator kicked back on. And it
was a good one.
Well, yeah, it was okay. But the reaction it got, they laughed. The other people in the room laughed. The people who weren't on the microphone laughed. And that made me laugh. So, like, for 3 minutes on air, it was just laughter.
It was a little bit concerning. I mean, there were probably people listening who had relatives who were on ventilators.
Glenn, probably don't made them put feel a downer bad. On this. We're going to break. Come back in 1 minute. Ted, you are really a pioneer. You were the first viral video in 2011.
Yes, that is true. But I have a problem since then. I was hoping you can help me with that, Scott.
What's that?
Well, I can't seem to find the right antibiotic to get rid of this viral video.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
And we're back here, Glenn Coble, Scott Spears, on a Wednesday morning.
Thanks
talking
for the
about
cue sign, by the way. You gave me the cue.
I did. That we're coming back.
That was very
I did.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't. Not, I did. People don't know which finger I gave you. But
we're number one.
It's number one. The Friday night show was great. We had a lot of fun. There was just the whole weekend. Last weekend had such a good atmosphere. I mean, I had to come in here early Friday because it was a much bigger production last Friday. We had pictures and we had more people.
On radio, you had pictures?
Well, because of the 4th of July. And I needed to print off the Declaration of Independence and a whole bunch of stuff.
Okay.
So I came rather early last Friday. I came probably, 4 or 5 o'clock for a show that didn't start till 8. But it blew by. The mood was just so good. And then
I'm happy that you're happy.
Oh, I'm always
even
happy.
Though I'm sitting
have you ever
at
seen
home
me
crying.
Unhappy?
No.
No. Isn't that a funny thing?
No.
It isn't?
No, it's not a funny
no,
thing.
No, I think it is.
I'm happy that you're happy all the time.
But
I'm
most
happy all the time.
But most people aren't.
Oh.
Oh, no, most people aren't. Most people have depression. They might have their happy moods, and some people lie about being happy, but I don't think most people are happy all the time.
What? Well, I can understand why there are people that aren't happy, but it's easier to get through life if you keep a smile on your face.
Well, it is, but sometimes life's problems will get you down.
Well, I've had recently I've had people on Facebook for some reason or other, they don't like me just because I disagree with them.
I can relate to that.
But
I should meet some of those people.
Yeah, you probably agree with most of them.
Agree with them. Yeah, that's right. We'd have to talk.
But even when people don't like me on Facebook, I usually tell my wife, and I'm done with it. I tell my wife and my dog.
But you get angry. Now, see, you lied, Glenn. You don't get angry because
I do get angry briefly.
And I'm gonna tiptoe through this because I don't want to get too deep into this.
Okay,
got angry last week.
I did?
During the show. At one point.
Yes, I did.
I had never seen you that angry during a broadcast.
I just get quiet when I'm angry. I didn't really respond.
No, but it was easy to tell you were angry.
Well,
I even said it to you.
I don't like ignorance, and I really thought I was listening to ignorance, and I was wrong. I did a lot of research on the situation that we're talking about and found out that my caller did not have all the facts and had a lot of facts that had been kind of squirted through the had come through Facebook and that sort of thing. There was no reason for me to get upset about it.
No, but it was interesting because, everything's important to everybody at the moment. You know, can be having the most great, fantastic day, and then something, sometimes you think about something that maybe you hadn't thought about, maybe all of a sudden the stress comes in, maybe all of a sudden you realize where you are in life, and the next thing you know, you're just, it's horrible.
What,
you feel horrible.
You know what really makes me mad, and that's kind of, excuse me, I'm trying to get my phone out because it just buzzed at me. What really makes me mad is the prejudice and the racial divides that we have right now. And that kind of touched on it, and so that made me really angry. And I will get angry. I was very angry. I have been very angry giving speeches about that sort of thing.
See, I don't get angry in any way, because if I...
I bet you do.
you would find it hard-pressed to see me angry.
So you're just a vanilla wafer is what you are. I don't believe that.
You know what it is? It's because I guess I'm unaware that it's a big deal to other people. Like, things that I will not sit there and argue with somebody. I will not, if they call me a name, okay.
Okay.
That's what I normally say. I say, okay. Fine.
I understand that. And that's the way I was raised. That my mother always was turn the other cheek. And, but sometimes it hurts my feelings, and sometimes it just makes me mad. But I'm pretty good about getting past it. I can get angry for about 5 minutes, and then I'm okay. And that's kind of what happened at that.
Yeah, it wasn't. But it's just, it's one of those things where I think I make other people angry. I mean, I'm sure I've done that, but I don't get angry. And I think sometimes that infuriates them even more, because I've made them angry, and I'm not angry. So they're angry that I'm not angry.
I'm trying to think of a time when I thought maybe you made people angry, and I can't remember.
Oh, I've done it.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yes, I know one.
Oh, tell.
No.
Is it a private one?
Yes.
What did it have to do with?
You, me, and females.
Oh, yeah. That well, I'll tell you, that came out last Friday again.
Okay.
but see, I'm not angry about that.
No, I'm saying making other people angry.
Right. I made and that's one of those instances where I made somebody else angry, but I wasn't angry. Yeah. And I think they got angry that I wasn't angry.
Do you think everybody believes that you're not angry? I don't. I believe you're angry, but you hide it better than
really?
A lot of people. Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, I hope not. That's cool.
No, it's, you know, because here's the thing. I truly believe that, like in that particular situation, and we'll just try to tiptoe around that as much
sure,
as we can.
Sure.
But in that particular situation, to me, that was not about them. And I think that's what makes it angry. Is they take it personally.
Yeah.
That's why it becomes angry. But I don't take it personally. I'm saying from what's making the best radio program, what is best for this? Because I know people listen to this station. I know people pay attention.
I'm so proud of that.
Yeah. So what's best for here? That's the decision I'm making. They're taking it personal. They're taking it, what did I do wrong? Why did I do this? That's not how I think of it. So why would I get angry about making something better? Now, I get why they're angry. They're angry because they took it personal.
Yeah.
But my part is not personal.
Most people take things personal.
They absolutely do.
And
it's not always personal.
Okay.
You think it is? You think everything's personal?
I would... in 74 years, I can't remember having discussions with people that weren't at least fringed with personal stuff.
So do you think that decision was, on my end, personal at all?
I stayed away from it, so I'm going to... I really didn't know why. So
I just told you. The better programming.
Okay, that's what you say.
That is what I say. And also, well...
I mean... You may be a better actor than I thought.
I'm a great actor. I'm really thinking about going... you know what's interesting? Have you been getting a lot of political emails?
I just
darted over at my email, and I am not political, but my gosh, I'm getting more political emails than you have ever seen.
Well, there's a lot of money out there, and that money is buying lots of ads.
This is great. Now, see, this is by way of the internet. We have some. I know we have somebody out there listening right now. Now, here because this is what we're talking about. This is what it says, but I think this is worded wrong. How long can your sign hold a grudge? Oh, okay. It's about your, what do they call those?
Placard?
No, when you're born. Your spiritual sign.
Oh, like Gemini and...
Gemini, yeah. What do they call those? Is it just
astrological?
Astrological sign. That's right. So that's what this is. How long can your astrological sign hold a grudge? Now, this is interesting. This is now... What are you?
A Gemini.
A Gemini. Let's see here. Geminis... Give it 30 seconds. You just said 30 seconds. That's strange.
I really don't hold grudges.
No, but that is strange that thing.
I don't believe in astrology either.
You know, I'm starting to believe in this thing, though, because that's just what you said.
Well, what are you?
I am a... Oh, geez, what am I? Pisces.
Okay, I'm what's a Pisces?
I'm right on the verge.
Okay,
because
you're on the cusp.
I'm on the cusp.
I got you.
Pisces. Let's see here. I am a Pisces. Where's Pisces is the last one on the list. Now, what are the odds of that?
Well.
2 months, maybe.
Yes. See,
two months.
I knew all along you were just a good actor.
Well, a grudge and anger are two different things. Now, I'm getting a question about a Leo. A Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is good. This is so right. This is so right because I know a Leo. Until the end of time. A Leo will hold a grudge until the end of time.
My wife is not a Leo.
Oh, man. I know a Leo, and this Leo will hold a grudge until the end of time.
That's
and maybe how, even beyond that.
That's how long I love my wife.
Oh, until the end of time.
I'm trying to get back in good with her.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
But the Pisces...
What's interesting, the Gemini is only 30 seconds.
2 months for a Pisces, but I... no. But is a grudge different than anger? See, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah. Grudge is a lot different. A grudge you're going to do something about, I think.
Do you? Or is it just, you're...
I don't like you, and I'm not going to like you
see, I always thought a grudge... We're going to call
you're
here.
You're going to get the answer.
I'm going to get the answer right here. Go ahead, caller.
Do you like that, do you?
I do like that. I'm so glad you're listening this morning. How you doing out there?
I'm doing fine.
Now,
so
what's your feeling on the whole grudge and anger situation?
You mean as a...
What's the difference?
In regards to what?
Yeah, how do you see it in life?
I don't understand what your question is.
Well, that's how most people who listen to this show feel. They don't know what I'm talking about.
That's how I feel, and I'm in the show.
it's hard some days. It's an uphill battle. Is a grudge different than anger?
Well, a grudge is a result of anger.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
with
I think
that
that's right, but too. I don't know if a grudge is anger.
It's kind of a grudge is kind of the offspring of anger. I don't.
Yeah. You think?
This lady that sent you stuff?
Yeah.
Thank you very much because it proved that I only have a 30-second anger maintenance.
From one Gemini to another.
All right.
No.
You and I are the best people in the world.
No. except when Sam or Phil's on, then it goes longer than 30 seconds to throw that radio, doesn't it?
she doesn't like Sam or Phil.
But the thing is, we're Geminis. But we have such different opinions about a lot of things, and we're so close in age, too, because I'm 72.
Oh, yeah. I'm a lot older.
But I don't know what happened to you, Glenn.
It was those 2 years. It made a world of difference. And I turned out to be one of those liberal guys like Phil, and you, obviously, I've heard you on the radio before, are not totally that way.
Well, but you know something? I honestly wish to tell you that I could get angry. I just don't. Nothing makes me angry.
You hear me call him Teflon there, Glenn?
Yeah.
Well, were you listening last week when that professor was on who went insane while he was on the air with me?
I missed it.
Hey, I didn't get angry with him. I just went right along with it.
You know, our caller, I've listened to her now I know who she is. I've listened, I don't know her personally, but I've listened
Glenn,
to her.
Talk a little faster.
Okay.
This is radio.
And she's like I would like to be as a liberal. She's that way as more conservative. She is listening and thinking and
That's what I ask my listeners to do.
Did you hear me and the professor? I don't know what Glenn was talking about there. I asked a question. I don't know.
He means he sees the similarities in our personalities, even though we are, different. You know, both. Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought I handled that professor okay.
Was that Adam's professor?
No, different professor.
Adam. Okay.
Adam, his name's Adam, isn't
it? Alan Lichtman.
Oh, Alan, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, he got angry with me, but that didn't bother me.
That's easy to do.
That's right. Get angry.
Well, I think he had more to at stake. I mean, he's got a book.
Yeah, well, that's right. He was selling his book. But you know what? He sent me a very nice email, you know, the next day, and
I bet he did.
They all suck up.
It was you know, I think what happened was, I think it was just a miscommunication, and I think he thought I was saying something I wasn't, and I think that's what happened. But I think he got so amped up. It was weird.
Well, quite frankly, Scott, your lack of standing on one side or the other is infuriating.
No. I think you got to ask the. It was all because I said to the guy. You heard the. Now, is this right or wrong? I said to, because he predicts every presidential election.
Oh, okay.
And he's predicted every one since the 80s.
Okay.
And I said, because he said he had to see the jobs report and he had to see what was going on with the protest to make his prediction. And my question was, I said, because he started off by saying, if you would have asked me at the end of 2019, Trump would have been a shoo-in, according to the way he figures it out. But he said, now because of the economy, because of COVID, and because of the protesting, that might be different. And I said, okay, so I said, are you saying that if the economic report is bad and that the protesting is still going on when you make your decision, that Joe Biden will be the next president? And he went bananas.
Really?
Yeah. Now, isn't that what I said? Caller, do you remember this?
Yes, it's what you said, but what did he say? He came back and he said he didn't want to see that in the headlines the next day.
Right, but what?
So maybe you didn't understand him.
I mean, I understood it. I would get my back up too about something like that, because it's like he wanted. That's what he's doing. He's predicting, but he's taking it right down to the wire, kind of like the Botwurst Festival. We're taking it right down to the wire,
right.
You know, to see. What's going to turn out because of the way things are now. Every hour on the hour, things change right now.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
But what I couldn't understand was, what would have the headline have been? Because if he would have, it was a question. If racial unrest and if unemployment are bad when you make your decision, are you saying Joe Biden will be the next president? If his answer to that question would have been no, which he could have said, well, what would have been the headline?
Well, I think he got upset about it, and you know, I understand. Sometimes it's just the way things are said and the way you take it in, and when you're...
She's a smart lady.
You know, but I remember...
I do see truth. I mean,
well, just to be on the other, I don't know why this always sticks out in my mind, but we were the first to have a past governor live in the studio. And the only reason I bring this up is to have a governor sitting across from you, whether it's Republican or Democrat, that's different than talking on the phone. And we had Governor Strickland in studio for 2 hours. And what was fascinating about that to me was Governor Strickland, even though he's a Democrat, was also a Methodist minister.
Yeah.
I think he still is a Methodist minister.
He is.
And I remember saying to him live on the air during that interview, he's sitting right across from me, I said, I have to ask you an awful question. And I remember before I even got the question out, he said, oh, you can ask me anything. And I said, because you are a minister, does a woman who has an abortion go to hell? And, you know, that was a tough question for him to answer because of that. But, you know, what's the headline in that? Because it's not the question, it's how he answers it. And that's what I felt with the professor. I didn't quite understand. A question can never make the headline. The answer will make the headline. Don't you think?
Well,
But people get angry if they feel like they're put in a corner.
But that's fine. But what's...
How can
a question put... Like, if I say, what's the worst question you can ask somebody? Did you kill Bob Johnson? If you say no...
He's still alive.
Okay. You know, I guess I just don't under... I believe there's no such thing as an indiscreet question, because it's you. It's on you to answer it.
It's not the question. It's the motivation of the question that's the problem.
My motivation was to get an answer.
Okay.
Yes or no?
If that's true, then that's a good question.
Okay. Glenn.
Yes, ma'am.
You think when if he would have said, okay, I'm trying to think of how he might have thought of it when you ask it in that way.
Please don't get into Scott's brain.
he's getting into the professor's brain.
Okay, all right. That's okay. Going into Scott's brain can scare the daylights out of you.
Well, I don't know, Glenn, if you know, but I was the one that started the rumor about Scott being an alien, but, you know.
Well, his ears are a little green.
Sometimes.
I don't know, Scott. When it happened, I thought, oh, my. You know, I thought somebody got angry because he felt like you were trying to get him to say something like, If all the cards are, you know, in a row and everything, then I say that Joe Biden will be our president. So that's all it would take.
Yeah. Well, but see, here's the problem. Honestly, in my opinion, in that whole thing, that's what he said. If you listen to the interview, the whole conversation that preceded that question was, he said, if you would have asked me last year, 2019, I would have told you, because of what I look at, that President Trump would be a shoo-in. He's telling me that last year President Trump's a shoo-in. And then he's saying, but because of everything that's happened this year, I have to look at the jobs report and where the racial unrest is when I do this. So he's saying it's no longer Trump's a shoo-in. He's just said that. I didn't ask him that. He said that.
You should ask me, because on November 10th, will tell you who won.
So when he's already... Didn't he already say everything that I asked before I even said it?
I think our listener is right. I think he thought that you were trying to corner him.
To say what? No, here's what
happened. Whatever.
I'll tell you the truth, and you can. What happened was
the truth. Aren't you always telling the truth?
Well, I am telling the truth, but this time I'm particularly telling the truth.
I'm
telling you the truth.
Anybody that says that is lying.
There's a lot of conjecture here, but you know the point. Here's what happened: is that the truth of that matter was, and I hate to say this. What he really got ticked about, you're exactly right. He was scared of headlines, and he felt cornered for this reason, because he knew the answer was yes. He knew the answer was yes, because if the answer was no, it wouldn't have mattered. There's no headline in no. Oh, is Joe Biden, are you saying Joe Biden's going to win? No. What? There's no headline there. Zero. But if
sounds
he
like
says,
a big headline to me, but go ahead.
No, it's not, because he's already said last year Trump, he thought Trump was going to win. So that was what ticked him off, because it's not a headline if he would have went that way. What ticked him off was he did not want to answer that question, because the answer to that question would have validated what he already said. He was trying to be very vague. In what he was saying.
I'm lost.
Well, just think here for...
Okay, may I interject something?
Please do.
Glenn?
Please.
Now listen. I don't know if... Did you hear the program, Glenn?
No, I did not.
Mm-mm. Well,
I don't listen to Scott as much as I can.
Well, I normally wouldn't.
Now, what do you mean you normally... What is this?
She doesn't like you either.
I'm just teasing. Listen, Scott.
Yes.
After it was all said and done, after they hung up, somebody sent you something on Facebook or whatever. What did they say?
Ooh, she's from the CIA. She knows what people are sending.
Oh, I'm trying
to
remember
Facebook.
Can I say it on the air?
Yes, you can say it on the air. You said it on the air.
Did I? What was it?
Somebody texted you something, and then after you read it, you read it back as he's already told you who's going to win.
Huh.
Do you remember that?
I don't remember
See,
that.
See, that's the problem with Scott. Mm-hmm. He's got one of those brains.
So you think he did tell me who already won?
No, somebody that was out in the audience
said
put their 2 cents worth in,
right,
and read it that way and got back to you and said, he's already told you.
That Lichtman had...
Scott, go back and listen to it. Scott, no. It was there because I thought, whoa.
Right. So, no, but what was the... So who did he say was going to win?
He didn't.
But, see,
but through all this other, through all the interaction, he there was how am I going to say this? Through all the interaction, there was this assumption that from what you asked, this is the way it was going to turn out. That's why he didn't like it, because that's what he's about. Right.
Right, but if I ask you, anybody,
okay,
that same question, if I said, hey, what do you think Joe Biden's chances are of winning? Now, if you say good, then I say, okay, well, you think Biden's going to win. If you say, I don't think they're very good, I think you don't think he's going to win. What's the difference with the professor?
I think there was a lot more to it than just, that's more black and white there. That's too simplified.
Well, but here's the thing. The truth is, his prediction will come out at the end of this month, and he's already agreed, by the way, to come back on the program, so there is no bad blood between us when the prediction comes.
I'm glad for you.
Yeah, but the truth of the matter is, I don't know who he's going to predict. I don't know. I mean, I really don't. So if there is an inference there that he was going to pick a certain person, I don't even know what the inference is, because I don't know who he's going to pick. If he comes out, I will say this, if he comes out and picks Biden, then I know why he was ticked that morning.
Mm-hmm.
But if he comes out and picks Trump, then I have no idea why he was ticked that morning.
Well,
he told you that there were things that had to be added to the picture before he could make his final decision, and he didn't want anybody else speculating.
Right, but I guess the point of this, and I just want to make this point one more time, the reason I asked the question that way is because, and people might forget this, he prefaced that question by saying, last year I would have told you Trump is a shoo-in. I would have told you this. He's a shoo-in. Wouldn't have mattered who he would have faced. But because of the COVID and the economy, because of the racial unrest, I have to wait and see where that is when I make my prediction now. So he's already said, it's changed. It's no longer a shoo-in. And that's all my question was. I'm saying that if racial unrest is still high, if unemployment is high, are you saying that the other guy, Biden, is going to win? That was, I mean, he teed up that question. If he had not said what he said about Trump being a shoo-in last year and now it not being so much of a shoo-in, I mean, if he was just doing that to sell books, he probably shouldn't have said it that way.
Well, that's the whole thing. He's in it to make money.
Right, well, he shouldn't have said it that way.
And he didn't want to have you, you know, force him to answer, and then now I can't sell anything.
But the results aren't out yet. Why couldn't he just say, no, I'm not saying
he
that.
He did say it, Scott.
Right, but he got...
said it, and well, how come you didn't just say, so, you know, obviously, what you're saying then is that things are to be studied until we have the... Or you have to...
I guess what
you have to take everything into consideration,
right,
before you make your prediction.
I guess,
and not even mention Joe Biden.
Well, I guess the reason was because I was trying to make the distinction for the listening audience. I understood what he said, that there is one or two. Listen, there are one or two people's going to win this.
Yeah.
Now,
good answer.
We can say
he wins,
know, whether or not we say whose name or what's name or whatever. It's one or two. It's either or here.
I love this lady. Yeah, I'm going to ask her for a date.
I just think it would have been very disingenuous of me not to be honest and say, and I don't like people who just get on and make statements. I don't want to repeat what he said. I want to know, is he saying, and the opposite is true.
I think it's a good question.
You know, if the numbers are good, then Trump is going to be. If the numbers are bad, then Biden's going to be. That's what he said, and that's all I'm saying. I'm saying, are you saying that if the numbers are bad, that you think Biden will win? And again, his answer could have been yes, no, I don't feel comfortable answering that. Why he got so irate about it was what was on.
I heard it. I'm going to have to go back.
I suspect that he's been asked that a number of times, and it's getting to the point where it's getting very old, and it is getting to the point where he has to make a final decision, and there was a lot of stress there.
Pressured to him.
Yeah. But what was weird about it was he didn't stop the interview. He came back down. We did 10 more minutes just fine. At the end of it, he said, I think you're a good interview except for those 2 minutes. I'll come back on your show. And then we did emails, and he'll be back on. So the whole thing...
You'll let us know when he's coming back on.
I certainly will, and we'll have the boxing gloves ready to go. But it was
Glenn and I want to know.
Yeah, I'm going
to
be there.
It was so weird because... to me, but here's what I will say, because we're about to go to break, but what I will say about that conversation is I loved it, because that to me is the difference between radio and television. You wouldn't see, you would never get that deep on television.
Nope.
Because they wouldn't give you the time, and you wouldn't hear it because so much is taped, and that was live. It was as it happened. So I love that moment.
That's true.
Love that moment. It was absolutely spontaneous. I didn't know it was coming, and now I didn't know this was coming, but we're going to breaks. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And to come on with us means the world to me, and I hope you are still able to do it periodically, because when you come on, the morning is more exciting, a little more energy, and